This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, welcome to today's broadcast. My name is Rich Adarosa. I'm the senior pastor of Church of the Harvest, located in Pahokee, Florida. I've been in the ministry for more than 30 years, and I pastor with my wife, Barbara, out here. We really have a heart for outreach and equipping saints to do the work of the ministry, and we're especially blessed for being able to have the opportunity to share with you from the Word of God at BPN Radio. So why don't you invite some folks to come listen, and please drop me a line. I'd be very interested in hearing from you. Maybe talk to me about what may have blessed you or some other ideas or questions that you might have that perhaps we could help you. So now I want to get into our message for today. And the message is truth will change the facts. Truth will change the facts. You know, if we want to start out today, we should really go to the book of John chapter 8. So I'd like you to turn there with me to John chapter 8. If you're driving, hold on to the wheel. Hallelujah. Don't take your hands off the wheel and grab your Bible. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Actually, we're going to begin in verse 30, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. John chapter 8, verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed him, talking about the Father. And then he says in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm going to read that again. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, we think about abiding in the word, and we think about just daily devotion time, spending time with Jesus, but it goes a little farther than that. It goes to having your mind renewed through the word of God, as the scriptures tell us in the book of Romans. But what's really cool about this verse is Jesus says that the definition of a disciple is one who abides in his word. Now, as a Christian who's been abiding and at times not abiding, I can tell you that when I spend that time and I keep my life focused on Jesus and I spend time abiding in the Lord Jesus, I'll tell you what, I have a real hard time trying to sin and to try to do things that are not his will. But the key is abiding in him. Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then that's the important thing to understand. It's not just his word. It's not just a knowledge of his word, but it's a commitment to his word, a commitment to hearing and meditating on his word. And that's what it means for the word of God to abide in you. He said, then you're my disciple. Now, the disciple, of course, as you know, is a disciplined one. It's one who continues in the teaching of their master. And so in order to continue in the teachings of Jesus, it's important that we renew our minds to his word, that we abide in that word. And remember, the word is not just a black or red letter on the printed page. Jesus said his word is spirit and it's life. And so if you want to have the kind of life that Jesus has, then you're going to have to abide in his word. You remember that in the book of John, the Bible says that in the beginning, in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word became flesh, it says in the book of John, and dwelt among us. Jesus, in his earthly walk, was walking out the Word. Jesus did everything that the Word will do for you if you will believe it and you'll speak it. And so he said, you will know the truth. Now, one thing about being a disciple, one thing about abiding in the Word, is that if you abide in the Word, you're going to know the truth. And truth always brings freedom. The truth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, that he's the God who desires to bring the salvation to you, the work that he's done, the atoning work of Jesus, is a truth that when received and believed in faith is a word that will set you free. And whom the Son has set free, the Bible says, is free indeed. And so today I want to talk to you about some of the practical things of abiding in the Word and actually spending time with Jesus and allowing his truth, his word is truth, allowing the word of truth to make you free in every area of your life. You know, if you're like me and you're like everybody else that's ever been born into this world system, Kenneth Copeland calls it Babylon, this world system. If you're a person like me and you've been born into this system, you quickly realize that the facts that you're dealing with in your life don't always line up with God's word. I mean, people say and know that the word says that with his stripes you're healed. We talked about that last week. But there's a fact, and the fact is that your nose is plugged and your throat has got some issues with it, and things are coming out of different orifices in your body. Sorry to be a little bit plain, but that's the way we are here where I live. And knowing the truth and acting on that truth is what's going to cause the promises of God to manifest in your life. And today's message has to do with the fact that the truth of God's word will change the facts. Facts are subject to change, but truth never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the word, so let me say it this way. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Facts are temporal. Facts are subject to change. When it clouds up and it's very humid, guess what? It's going to rain. That's a fact. However, there are certain days where it doesn't cloud up, and so the fact has changed. Yesterday was rainy, today is sunny. That's the fact. The truth is the word of God and what God says in his word. The fact is you may not feel well. The truth is by his stripes you were healed. The fact is I don't have any money in my bank account. The truth is he became poor that you might be made rich. The truth is that he wishes above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And so the key is to find out practically how this truth, the truth that is available to the disciple or the one who abides in Jesus, how does this truth operate and how does it make me free? Well, I'm so glad that you asked that question. I want to just give you a couple of examples. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4. This is another scripture that we like to share because it's so practical. And I'm all about practical things. As a pastor, my wife and I, we have to counsel people and encourage them. And sometimes they don't always like to receive what we have. You know, everybody likes to maybe eat a Twinkie, but every once in a while, you've got to eat a piece of steak. It's not all about the desserts in life. It has to do with the meal that will sustain you and give you the strength to carry on. Desserts are wonderful, but you can't live on dessert. But you can live on things that will sustain you. So in Proverbs chapter 4, before I begin in verse 20, there's a saying that I found on the internet. It didn't give the author, so I'm not taking credit for it, but unfortunately, I don't know who I can give credit to. And it says, what's down in the well will come up in the bucket. What's down in the well will come up in the bucket. Did you ever notice that when a toddler, at the particular age of maturity that they're at, if they see a bug crawling along the wall, many times that toddler will grab that bug and put it in their mouth. Because why? Because toddlers put everything in their mouth. Their toys, their fingers, their toes, everything. If there's a Cheerio under the chair, what will that toddler do? That toddler's going to grab that Cheerio and put it in their mouth. Now, sometimes the things that they might put in their mouth may not harm them. But there's other things that a toddler could put in their mouth that could cause them great harm. And yet, we as believers will allow anything into our ears, they'll allow anything for our eyes to see, and we'll allow anything to get into our heart. You know, the Bible says that we're to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of your life, the ordering of your life, the blessings of your life are of the issues of your heart. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, I want us to read here just a little bit. Now, of course, this is written by Solomon, and he's writing it to his son. And he says, my son, give attention to my words or attend to my words. See, that's the part about abiding. We read that there in the book of John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus said that his words have to abide in us. That means his words need to make their home in him, or in us rather. He's saying here, my son, give attention to my words. Pay attention. Now, when you pay attention to something, what do? You get your eyes on it. You got your ears on it. You're watching it very closely. He said, incline your ear to my sayings. Now, to incline your ear requires something positive. It requires something to do. Sometimes when someone might be talking to me or they may sound a little muffled, I'll turn my ear to hear what they have to say. Why do I incline my ear? I incline my ear because I have an interest in hearing what the person is saying. God's word is his speaking to us. And the first part and the first and most important thing as a believer is we have to give attention to his word. We have to give attention to the word of God. We need to incline our ears to his saying. What are his sayings? The word of God. We're saying it a different way, but it's the same thing. We're putting our eyes on the word of God. It says in verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. Now, I've thought about that, and I thought, well, does that mean I have to have a little card in front of my glasses as I'm walking around and living my daily life? Well, I don't know he's necessarily talking about that. But you know, it's not just enough to be hearing the word on a teaching. I mean, there's wonderful teachers out there. There's wonderful YouTube videos out there. But there's nothing like you putting your eyes on the Word of God when you have your meditation time with the Lord, where you, with your eyes, are reading the Word and speaking the Word out of your mouth. He said, don't let them depart from your eyes, talking about the Word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. How do I keep the Word in my midst of my heart? How do I do it? Well, I've got to give attention to it. I've got to keep my eyes on it so I can keep it in the midst of my heart. Listen, what you pay attention to, what you incline your ear to, and what you won't let depart from your eyes is what's going to be in your heart. Ask yourself, am I hearing the word daily? Have I inclined my ear to the word today? Are my eyes fixed on the word? Well, if you're doing those things, you're doing everything that you need to in order for the word to get in your heart. You see, the word doesn't just jump off the printed page and jump into your heart. That's a process over time that happens. Just like when a seed is sown, it doesn't produce fruit instantly, right? It takes time. It takes watering. It takes sunshine. I like to call it the S-O-N shine. So he's saying here that I'm to keep the word of God in the midst of my heart because they are life. What's life? The word is life to those who find them, and it is health and healing to all their flesh. Have a health issue? Check up on your word. Is his word abiding in you? Is the truth of that word sown into your heart producing a truth that will make you free? Remember, the truth will change the facts. If you don't like your situation, you can change it. Now, we're not talking about exercising control and manipulation over other people. That's witchcraft. We're not talking about that. But you remember last time when we spoke, Jesus said, speak to your mountain. Well, what are you going to tell it? Something you made up in your head? No, you're going to speak the word to that mountain. When you pray, you're going to pray according to his word. 1 John chapter 5 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the answer to our prayer. He said here that if we will allow the word to become in our heart, he says it is health and healing to all their flesh. Don't try to figure out why your flesh condition won't be healed because you've never heard about Oral Roberts or Benny Hinn ever getting a healing on it. It's based on all of your health. It says, and health to all their flesh. Now, how many does all include? All. That's what that word means. Verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I love what the writer's saying here. He's telling us that in order for your lives to be ordered, in order for your lives to be prosperous, spirit, soul, and body, you've got to take the word, you have to hear it, paying attention to it, which means you've inclined your ear to it, you've kept your eyes on it, and when you do that and abide in Christ, guess what? Out of it will come the issues of life. For keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That works on the positive side, and it works on the negative side. You can't spend all your time watching television and wonder why every time that the, in quotes, flu season comes, you come down with the flu. Remember that the things that you experience today are very much part of what you've been believing and therefore what you've been speaking. You need to change those facts, brethren. You need to get your truth set you free. You need to get the manifested word of God working in your life so that you can show the world that Jesus is Lord and that he has provided for you spirit, soul, and body. I don't know about you, and I'm not talking about what level we're really glorifying God, but you glorify God in what you say and what you do. I remember in the scriptures, the Bible says that Jesus healed people, and it says, and they glorified the God of Israel. God is glorified in answered prayer. God is glorified in healing. And certainly God is glorified when the truth makes you free. There's nothing like being free. Nothing like being free. And now he's going to tell us how to do this. He's going to give us some practical things so that as we sow that seed into our heart of his word, as we're abiding in that word and as that word is producing life on the inside of us, causing the truth as a disciple of Christ, causing that truth to make us free, it says, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. What's a deceitful mouth? Now, I don't believe he's just talking about people telling lies, but do you know that when you put your faith and trust into your circumstances over the word of God, you're not telling the truth. You've got to allow truth to come out of your mouth. A deceitful mouth is a mouth that does not speak words that are consistent with his perfect will. What you say that's contrary to the word of God is deceitful to you. You've got to speak the word so that the word you begin to believe and you begin to act on it begins to grow in your heart. It becomes like Charles Capps used to say, like a living dynamo, and begins to produce life. He says, put perverse lips far from you. You see, I've got to control that. That's a decision of my will. Listen, grace is given to us to do what we're not able to do ourselves because it brings the power of God to operate. You make the decision to do these things. You say, well, I have trouble speaking my circumstances, and I have trouble with my lips not speaking correctly. Well, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He will. And when you do it, you repent and you continue on and you continue to work with the Holy Spirit, and he will help you tame the tongue, because man cannot tame his own tongue. It requires the control of the Holy Spirit. It requires the fruit of the Spirit working and being manifest. Listen, the more you meditate on the Word of God, the more you produce, put the Word of God into your heart and you begin to walk in it, you're developing the very personality and character of Jesus in your life. So, it says here, verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead. Don't put your eyes on your past. Don't put your eyes on what you did yesterday. Maybe it was wrong. Keep your eyes straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about it before you do something. Don't be an impulsive person that you just impulsively respond. Any thought that comes into your mind, you just impulsively speak it out. Bring the thoughts that come into your mind and subject them to the obedience of Christ. Subject them to the truth of God's word. He says, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Listen, there's some things that we have to do if we're going to allow the word of God to work in our lives the way God intended it. But it's going to start with you abiding in the word. It starts with you abiding in him. That's why it's so important to understand that. You know, I mentioned before about the child that would maybe eat a bug because they just put anything in your mouth. You kids can't put anything in your mouth. You just can't be listening to anything. You know, a lot of times people, well, they'll be on the internet. And I don't know if you notice, but a lot of times you'll see suggestive images coming up. Well, you know, you click on one of those, and the next thing you know, and you're getting a little deeper, and you're getting a little bit deeper into it, and then you begin to realize, hey, wait, this isn't right. You've got to ponder the paths of your feet. You've got to consider your ways. You just can't put anything into your eyes. You can't put everything into your ears. And you can't just put anything into your mouth to be spoken out again. What about the child that takes a broken piece of crayon and puts it in their mouth because it's one of those things that's hanging around? And what about you? Do you put anything into your heart that you shouldn't be? Your heart's your inner man. It's where our lifestyles and practices come from. It's their source. You know, it's interesting that we think that, you know, when we get saved, we're all good. And thank God for salvation. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's not by works. Because God doesn't want man to boast on how good they perform. It's not about our righteousness. It's about his righteousness. We're righteous because he's righteous. And if we will receive his righteousness by faith, we will begin to do righteous works. You see, that's how God transforms us. He transforms us from the inside out. One of my favorite scriptures can be found in Romans 4. So would you turn to Romans chapter 4 for just a minute? I'd like to share something with you there, Romans chapter 4. I really hope you're getting something out of today's teaching. Like I said, I'm just all about positive things. And listen, I'm not a name it, claim it, grab it, blab it type of person. God didn't tell us to be like that. But when it comes for me to walk out the plans and purposes of God, when it comes time when God wants to use me to bless somebody financially, it's pretty hard to do if I'm still struggling to have my needs met. It's hard for me to get up and to pray for somebody if I'm sick. But see, I don't have to be. I don't have to be because God has promised in his word that he's already atoned for that. But I have to get with the program. My spirit is now made alive unto God. And what I can do is I can speak the word into my heart and it will produce the fruit of his word, the very character and personality of Jesus. It'll produce those 9 fruit of the Spirit, which are spiritual forces that work in our lives, helping us to do the things that in the natural we could never do. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace. See, when you get under the law, and you spend all your time just trying to keep the commandments, guess what? You can't keep all the commandments. I'm not talking about the 600 or so. I'm talking about just the same basic 10. But as soon as you enter faith and believe and trust on the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and as soon as you believe God, the Bible says it's accounted unto you for righteousness just like it was with Abraham. He says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise, what promise? The promise to Abraham might be sure to all the seed. That seed is not just the Jews, but it's also the Gentiles. And you're in one of those 2 categories. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those that are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He calls into manifestation the truth above the facts. God wants your life to be manifested with his truth. The facts may say one thing, but the truth always can change the facts. The woman who had the issue of blood, the fact is, she had nothing better, but rather grew worse. That was the facts. But her faith in Jesus, saying that if I might touch him, the hem of his garment, I might be healed. And she said that within herself. What did she do? She was speaking of those things that are not as though they were. And immediately when she touched him, the fountain of her blood had dried up. Jesus stopped in a crowded area, in a crowded mall, we might say, to say, "Who touched me?" Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank God that the truth of God's word can change the facts. Say that to yourself. God's truth will change my facts. Let's say it again. God's truth will change the facts in my life. Hallelujah. As it is written, he said to Abraham, "I made you a father of many nations." He said that God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He calls those things that be not as though they were. Aren't you glad that God has brought you and delivered you from death? Yeah, one day this natural body's going to peel off. But I'll tell you one thing. One day we're going to have a glorified body. It'll be a spiritual body. And it'll be a body that'll live and won't ever have to deal with sickness and disease and all those kind of things. But I want you to see this next verse. It says, "Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed that he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be." And verse 19, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." How? By considering the word of God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Listen, the Bible says that he had hope, that the word of God brought hope, and the word of God gave him faith to believe that God would bring his son through Sarah's dead womb. And so that faith was accounted unto him for righteousness. And it was that faith that brought the fact of Sarah's dead womb to change to the truth that God had spoken, saying that he would have a descendant and that Sarah would have a child. Listen, folks, when Mary received the word from the angel, she said what? "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." And so, as I challenge you today, I want things to be done in your life. I want you to say, "Let it be done to me according to thy word." I want you to say that the facts that I'm experiencing now that don't line up with the word of God will, because I'm trusting God and I'm believing those things that be not as though they were, which comes through the word of God. Remember that what's down in the well will come up in the bucket. We've heard many times people say, and Jesus say, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." A lot of times you can locate people where their faith is by what you hear them say. But I want to challenge you today to get God's word in your heart, to keep meditating his word, and allow the truth to change the facts in your life. Well, if this message has been a blessing to you, I'd sure love to hear from you. Would you write us at Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida, 33476, or go on our website at Church of the Harvest, Pahokee.
It's Rick Gentry. You've been listening to Pastor Richard Idarosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.